accepted today. I'm just going to have to just teach on this side. Or maybe I'll teach on this side and you guys will all shift over. Well, Pastor Jim is, if you didn't catch that when Kyle said that, Pastor Jim's not with us today. He is not sick, so that's a good thing. He is in Castle Rock this morning. They're wearing him out up there. He taught last night and is teaching three times today. So four sermons this weekend. But he will be with us tonight. And tonight, for those of you who have not read your bulletin or didn't pick one up, you know that we're kind of going old school. Tonight is our harvest celebration, and we're going the way we used to do things back in the old building. And that was every time that we would celebrate harvest, we'd have a chili supper and invite everybody to bring out their favorite. Yeah, I saw an amen back there. Bring out their favorite chilies, and we're just going to have a good time of fellowship. And that starts at 5 o'clock. So come out for that. If you said, "Oh, I didn't know," go buy. Do like we used to do for home fellowships when we were young, and Kelly didn't know how to cook at that time, which was she knows how to cook now, as you can tell. But you go to the store, you buy the chili, you put it in your own pot, and just pretend like it's yours. So that works. That was a joke, by the way. So come out for that. We're going to have a good time. The kids are going to be in the back doing a little thing in the back for them. And we're going to come in and we're just going to worship the Lord and have a good time, praise and worship, and study His Word again. So come out for that. I come as a messenger today. Is that okay with you? I want to share what God has put on my heart today for the church. And what he has put on my heart is something that's been a part of our prayer. Every time that we get together as leadership in this church and begin to pray about the needs of the church and the direction of the church, we're asking God on a regular basis a few things. One of those things we're asking is, God, what do you want Calvary Chapel Eastside to be in this world, in this community? What do you want us to look like? We think we know right now. I think, you know, we're every day our pastor leads us in the right direction, and if you come into Calvary Chapel Eastside, you can kind of sense who we are. But we never want to get stuck in a place and just say, well, this is where God would have us. If he wants to take us further, we always want to be open for where God would move us next. So God, what do you want Calvary Chapel Eastside to be in this world, in this community? What do you want us to be? We're also asking God, what do you want us to fill these halls with? What do you want us to, how do you want us to minister to the people? And we're also asking Him, where do you want us to use our energy and our resources? And you know what? If nothing else that you listen to today, if you will take those three things and ask yourself those same three questions, because this building is not the church, amen? You and me, we are the church, right? We sometimes get that in our head that the church is some kind of, that the church is the corporation, it's this entity, and we are, but you are the church. So what we're going to talk today about what God would not have us to be as the church and what He wants us to be, it is not about this Calvary Chapel Eastside, it's about you, amen? Can you receive that today? So if you do nothing else, if you'll walk away with those three questions that you will ask yourself, God, what would you have me to be in this world? What would you have me to be in this community? Father, what would you have me to, how would you have me to minister to others? And Father, where do you want me to spend my resources and my energy and my time? And if it's not where I have been now, where I have been, then Father, what do you want me to do to change that? I can tell you that on the leadership's heart in this church, for our elders, the pastoral staff, the others, is that our heart feels that God wants Calvary Chapel Eastside to be a place of action for the kingdom of God. Amen? You want that as a part of your church? We feel that Calvary Chapel Eastside needs to be reaching the lost and preparing the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's what Pastor Jim has told you many times from the pulpit, that is the main purpose for this church, is to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. That's preparing you guys to go out and to teach, to spread the word, to share the gospel. That's what we're here for. And we believe, and we have heard recently, and you've heard little bits and pieces, that through a couple different places, separate places, little bit of bits of prophetic word that God has given this church, that God has said that He wants to use Calvary Chapel Eastside in a special way in the future. We don't know how that's going to play out, and I'm okay with that. I can receive what that's saying, is that God wants to use Calvary Chapel Eastside as a hot spot for the kingdom on the east side of Colorado Springs. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. Is that the kind of church that you want to be a part of? Yeah. And so I would ask the question before we go any further, are we there yet? We got a good church here, don't we? I love this church, amen? I love you people. I love my family here. But are we where God wants us to be yet? No. To be honest, do you ever want to be? Do you ever want to have arrived? I don't ever want to get to some place where I just think, well, we're there now and we don't need to. We're going to talk about that. But just before we go any further, I want to assure you how this church is led. The leadership of this church, how this church is directed. And I want you to be assured that this, as far as this fellowship is concerned, I will use this entity here, how decisions are made in this church. We do nothing out of the direction of God's word. Praise the Lord for that, amen? Because there are churches that do. No matter how difficult it might be, and there are difficult situations that we come across in a monthly basis, weekly, daily, there are difficult situations that we face that we must go to God's word. And sometimes, as you know in your own life, to walk according to what God's word says, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? It's not always easy. I don't care what people in the world say, that this is some kind of a crutch. Walking as a Christian and walking according to God's word is not easy sometimes. Because the world paints this easy picture of what easy is, and to walk against that is hard. It's difficult. And we have seen churches throughout this world, and even in Colorado Springs, who have fallen by the wayside because they have walked away from what God's word says, and they went off on something else. So I can tell you, amen, we refuse to do that in this church. And we're going to go to the word. You're thinking, yeah, he's talking about the word, but he hasn't gone there yet. We're going to go there. And when we are left with a choice or a decision to make in this church, by the way, I don't know if you know how this Calvary Chapel functions. Calvary Chapel is, if you've been in denominational churches, you know that there's usually a board that oversees the pastor, and they kind of tell the pastor what he should and shouldn't do. But we follow what God's design is, and that one day Pastor Jim is going to stand before God and answer for everything that happened in this church. And he is the one that is responsible. And he takes responsibility for that, and he seeks God. We have a church board of elders, some who are represented here today, who are an advisory board, who come together to support that pastor and to give him good guidance and direction, and he receives that as well. But it is Pastor Jim that will stand before there, and there are times when we as the leadership of this church have to face things that, and you too, that aren't spelled out exactly in God's word. You can't just go there and go, well, how am I supposed to deal with this? We have to, on those times, we go to our knees. And we seek God's direction in that. So if you look at the tree of leadership in Calvary Chapel Eastside, the head, first of all, is God over all. His word and his leading through the Holy Spirit according to his word. And I say according to his word because there are teachers out there today who are saying things that are contrary to God's word, but saying that they're the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I can't see that my God, that my Father, is going to give me this book and tell me that this is my guidance and my direction, but then lead in some way that is contrary to it. So always, the decisions that God leads us in are according to God's word. And you know that this church is about, if you've ever sat in Pastor Jim's office and asked him about anything, any issue, whether it's personal or whatever, you know that he goes right to God's word and says he tells you what it says. That is how this church is led. So that's where we're going to go today. So my question today is, what does God want Calvary Chapel Eastside to be? Well, the first thing we're going to look at is what God does not want us to be. Can we do that first? Let's flip in our Bibles to Revelation. And you probably know where I'm going. Revelation chapter 3. It's the church of Laodicea. And for me, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about what God does not ever want us to be, this church comes to mind. And we're not going to spend a lot of time there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, starting in verse 14. It says, to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I am acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. When I think of what displeases God in a church, this is what comes to mind. Neither hot nor cold. And the Laodiceans knew what that truly meant. In Laodicea, for them to get water into their city, there was only a couple options to do so. And I think one of them was that on the mountainside, there was snow that would gather, and the snow melt would come down off of there. And so they built an aqueduct that would get to where that snow melt came down, and then that aqueduct would bring the water into the city. But because of the distance and the heat there in the valley, by the time that ice-cold water that came down off the mountain had gotten to the city, it was lukewarm and not very good at all. There was another option, which was to go the other direction where there were some steam vents that they could gather hot water in that place off of those natural springs, and they could carry that back up to the city. But again, by the time that hot water had made the trip, that water was lukewarm. And so the Laodiceans, this particular terminology was very key to the city. They knew what that meant. So how did they get to a place where they're lukewarm? First of all, why is that bad? You know, when I'm hot, let's look at it this way. When I'm hot for the Lord, when I'm on fire for the Lord, that's good. On fire for the Lord, serving Him, standing in the center of His perfect will for us, and walking according to His word, that's when I'm on fire. That's when things are the best. And cold, I have been cold. You've been there too, haven't you? Before I came to Christ, I was cold, and I could see who I was, and there was no hope. There was nothing. I could see God for who He was. There was some work there that could be done because I was open to it. But in lukewarm, hey, everything's fine. I don't got any problems. No worries. How did they get there? Well, it tells us that they got lost in pride and self-satisfaction in that church. They no longer were doing anything good. And other churches, if you'll read in that same area, other churches received words about their good works. And He gave them either correction or commended them. But Laodicea received nothing because they were doing nothing. They were doing nothing. They were just playing the game, just having church. And it's sad because Laodicea used to be a buzzing location. It was a place where the church councils used to come and meet, and it was an active center for God, but it had drifted into this place that, well, let's just put a word on it. How did they get there? Complacency. Can I throw that word out there? Webster's dictionary defines complacency as pleased, especially with oneself, one's merits, advantages, situations, etc., and often without awareness of some potential danger or defect. Self-satisfied. Can I ask you this morning, could Calvary Chapel Eastside find ourselves there? Could we? Not saying would we, will we, could we find ourselves there? Yes. And we can find ourselves there unless we are a people of action, because that's what God's word instructs us to do. That we live according to God's leading. Unless we are actively living for Christ in all that we do, we can find ourselves in this place. Doing nothing can kill a church, and it does. You've seen some of those churches, haven't you? Think about where you live. There are, Jim was sharing the other day, 400 churches, and then with other organizations, there's like 600 church organizations around the city, and there are certain communities, and maybe you live in one, where there are churches, and you've never seen anybody from there. You see a few cars show up, and they leave, but for the most of the time, it looks like it's dead there. Now, I'm not in those churches, and I'm not going to make any judgment call on what's going on or what happened there, but does that, the picture of the church that God intended it to be? I don't think so. Have they fallen into that? We're just going through the motions and doing church? Yes, Calvary Chapel Eastside could fall. We've got this beautiful building. We have a great teacher. We're going to talk about that in a second. We have awesome things going on in here, but easily we could fall into just going through the motions. And I say we because, again, what did we start this with? We are the church. So the question is not about this building. It's about you. Could we fall into that place? Have we fallen into that place? Have you? Be honest. If this is the church that we want to become, if this is the church that you want to become, it's real easy to do. I'm going to tell you how to get there. You ready? Just in case you want to, unless this is the kind of church you want to be, just do nothing and say that everything's okay. Just do nothing and say that everything's okay. Just say that I don't need to grow forward in the kingdom. We're fine. Just say I have talents and gifts and it's okay, I don't need to use them because someone else will. And can I just spend a minute on that? I think that's probably the biggest thing that takes us to that Laodicean church is when we have talents and gifts that we do not want to use for God. Because God created, can we just break this down? It's not about anything else but God, because one day this is all gone. It's all gone. It's about Him, His kingdom, the relationship that we have with Him, and we put such importance on other things and put God as secondary part of it, when really He's all of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but if you'll spend some time reading there, you see that Paul talks in chapter 12 about the gifts. At first, he talks about specifically spiritual gifts. And in verse 6, he says, there are different gifts of work, different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And then a little bit further in verse 27, when he's talking about the different parts of the body, the hand, the toe, all that, you remember that part? In verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So I say all that to say, because some people have this tendency when they become part of the kingdom of God and a part of the body of Christ and become part of the church, that their gift is not really needed. It's just somebody else will do it. Did you know that statistically, there's a study done, and I think Jim's probably shared this from the pulpit before, but George Barna did a study a few years back, and they surveyed, I can't remember the number exactly, I forgot to look up exactly how many churches that they surveyed, and they surveyed specifically people in the survey who were not involved in ministry, giving of their gifts and their talents. And 70% of those who were not serving said they would have served if somebody would have asked them. Isn't that pretty sad? Can we get rid of that statistic? Because that's not the church that we're about ready to read about. That is not the way, that will take us to a Laodicean church where we just sit back and say, and maybe you've done it. I'm not here to step on your toe. Yeah, well, God maybe. But you know what? If you've said somebody else will do it, that is not the way God intended the church to function. What He intended, and for us to be that church that we talked about, to be a hotspot, is that everybody says, I'm in. What can I do? How can I be a part of this? Is it here in the church? Is it outside of the church? You know, is it, we are the church global. How can I be involved? We need to get rid of that, because that puts us dangerously close to being complacent and can lead us to a Laodicean church. So we can say that that's the church we don't want to be. Don't want to be that. I don't want God to be displeased. He's going to vomit them out of His mouth. He is so displeased with them because there's nothing He can do with them at this point. They don't think that there's anything wrong. They've just drifted into going through the motions. They're not making an effect in the kingdom. They're not. Souls and lives are not being changed. They're just doing. They're just spending their time going to a building on a certain day, and it's just part of their religion. So what does He want us to be? Let's flip back a little ways to the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 2. What does God want Calvary Chapel Eastside to look like? What does God want every church to look like in their own flavor? What does He want them to look like? Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, spells out this fellowship of believers that were coming together and covers some basic things that they were seeing in the church, a church that was thriving. And let's read through verses 42 to 47, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. In verse 42, starting in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all of the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And my favorite part, and then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love this little picture of what God's work was doing here. And this is the church that I believe that God wants Calvary Chapel to be. This is the kind of church he wants us to be. So how do we get there? Let's take a look and see, are we doing what they were doing here? Now, that's a good thing. It's kind of good to take a little assessment once in a while to kind of step back and look at yourselves, to look at your church, you know? I think you should be praying for your church, and you should always be concerned and be seeking the Lord on the church's behalf, on the pastor's behalf, but to take a look and say, are we doing what God's word says? Let's take a look. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Are we doing that here at Calvary Chapel Eastside? And everybody was quiet. Let's break it down a little bit further. Are we devoted to teaching in this church? Oh, come on. Amen. I think that probably of all of the churches that I've been to in my 42 years, 42, yes, that's right, that this church is more dedicated to teaching the exact word of God than any other church that I've ever been in. You know, we know that, let's take a look at it. We know that Pastor Jim brings some of the best teaching in Colorado Springs. Amen? Say it because it's on the recording, so he'll hear it later. Some of the best teaching, and it's not, you know what, I love my pastor. He is a friend, he's a mentor as well, but I love the ability that he has to be able to, the thing that I love the most about the teaching that Pastor Jim brings is his understanding of the particular situation, the time that it was written, and that adds a flavor to understanding what was being said in a way that I've never experienced before at any other church. And so in this church, and if you're new here today, in this church, what normally happens on Sunday mornings for both services is we teach verse by verse through a book of the Bible, and then we start another book. And on Sunday nights, we teach verse by verse until we get through that book of the Bible, and then we go on to another book. And on Wednesday nights, we teach verse by verse until we get through that book, and then we go on to another. And that's the way this church teaches the Word of God. So say that we're devoted to the teaching, absolutely, from our pastor. Let's look at other areas. We have a new part of our congregation that comes in here at 1 o'clock, Vina Nuevo. They're our Spanish-speaking part of our congregation. And Pastor Juan teaches the word to those brothers and sisters in Christ that can't receive it in here because of the language barrier. And Pastor Juan's a very energetic and excited preacher. If you are bilingual and you could speak Spanish, I would encourage you to come and hear what Pastor Juan has to say once in a while. But he teaches the word of God. We have home fellowships and studies that are going on. Men and women's Bible studies. We have men's study meets on Thursday nights here in the church. Where are you guys meeting at now? Junior high room. Okay, in the back. And they teach the word of God. They encourage brothers in Christ on how to stand as men before God and in their families. They're teaching the word of God. Women are kind of doing a broken upright thing right now, but they're coming together and teaching the word of God. We have youth Bible studies. If you don't know what's going on there in the back, I'll give you just a little update. I used to be the youth pastor, no longer am, because God sent us Jason Reynolds. He's not here today because he works for the Army, and he's on staff today over there. But Jason and the staff in the youth department has had it felt on their hearts that they really need to delve into some deep scripture about what it is, why is it important for us to say to these teenagers, you know, it's important, now is the time you need to be out sharing the word. That they're looking at what the end times are looking like and what is about to come in our world so that they understand the importance of why they should be out there telling others about Christ. So pray for them because they're going into some difficult ground, but they are teaching the word. They are devoted to teaching the word of God back there. Our children's ministry, 2 hours back there. If you didn't know this, in both hours, they have two separate teachings that go on back there. Today we'll have some special. The Schroetlands are back with us. Wasn't that great to have Kyle back with us? Wasn't that awesome? Thank you. Want to bow? No? They're back there in the back sharing some what God has given them, if what's what God is taking them into and in missionary work and some things that they have on their heart. They're back there today, but normally we have two separate hours, two separate teachings. So we have people in our church that come for both services on Sunday. Both services, they come, they serve, they give of their time, of their talents, and their kids can be back there, and both hours they get a different teaching. It's different, so that's awesome. And they are teaching the Word of God. Not just telling stories. They're trying in their best way that they can to take these little minds and fit within it the Word of God. We have a prophetic meeting that meets here on every other Monday night that teaches the Word of God. We have a new ministry that's starting up that you got in your bulletin that's going to reach out to yet another portion of our community and meet them where they're at. And that's Treasured Friends with Cole and Susan. They're back there. Wave your hands, Cole. There you go. Wave your hands. Let's see. I embarrass everybody today. And that is to reach out to those with physical and mental disabilities in our congregation. So be praying for them, because it's another way that we are devoted to the teaching of the Word and that we're going to meet. See, do you see? These things would not be in place if these people who run these ministries, who do these things, said in their hearts, I don't need to use my gift and I don't need to use my talent. Somebody else will do it. If they had said that, these things wouldn't be in place. And this is important, because if we don't know the truth, then how can we walk in it? We got to know it. We have to know it and understand it before we can walk in it. So are you devoted to studying the Word? Are you devoted to the Word that's been delivered to you? I know that this church is. So yes, this is happening in our church, but it needs to happen all the more. And that's where the sheep, if they will step forward. You know, the scripture tells us in the last days that young men will dream dreams, and God will put things on the hearts of his people. And he might be putting in this church things on your heart that are supposed to be happening in and through this fellowship. And if you sit and not step forward and function within that, step out, that type portion of people may never get ministered to. Cole and Susan back there didn't step forward. There's a section of our community that could be left unministered to. So, we are devoted to the teaching. Let's go on to fellowship. We're good at fellowshipping around here, amen? We like fellowship. What is fellowship? It's a community of interests, activities, feelings, experiences. It's a state of being a fellow or an associate. A company of equals or friends, an association. So why is that important to a church to be alive and growing? Exactly. Iron sharpens iron. It's unity. It's team effort. It's coming together. It's letting everybody know that they're not alone in this, that we're doing this together. And if you see throughout God's Word, he wants us to come together in unity, pull together closer. We're stronger when we do that. Amen? That's right. Hey, if not, the body ain't going to function right. I want to be a toe. Hey, if you don't have your toes, you fall over, right? That's a pretty good thing. I want to be a toe. I'm going to toe for Jesus. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that. Would you make me one, Sarah? You're good at making shirts. Why don't you make a toe? I want to be a toe for Jesus. How did I get up on that shirt? We're good at fellowship, and it's an important part of what we do. As a church, we can't force that. That needs to happen. You need to be open for that. But we have times for that. We have times that we sit out in the foyer and we meet together out there, gathering for groups and events like we're going to do tonight. That's an important time to just spend time getting to know one another and getting to know what's going on in each other's life. Small groups that we have. We even use the internet to try and connect people and have conversations that go on. But please, if that is your only thing that you ever go to, that's a problem. Because God didn't intend us to do it over words. He intended us to do it face to face, getting to know one another. So it's a nice resource as an additional thing. But that's not where God intended it all to be. But can I tell you, one of the best ways that I have found to fellowship, and I see it in this church, is that these people weren't just coming together to sit and talk and leave. They were ministering together. They were working together in ministry. They were reaching out together, and thus they were spending time together with one another. As an example, in this church, when I first came here, we got involved with the youth ministry, and that was my main focus. Now I'm the assistant pastor here and have had to step from that place, but at that time that was where we started it, and we started out with just Kelly and I, but over time it grew, and new couples came in, and new families joined us in that effort. So it was kind of a little group within the group, and we were meeting together on a regular basis. We were focused on the same thing. We were there to minister to teenagers, and so we grew close together, and we still are very close together. And it was through that ministering together that fellowship just naturally happened. That's the best picture, honestly. If we'll come together and minister together and work together. Do we do that? Yes, but more needs to be happening. Look at different ways that we can connect with a sheep. It talks about breaking, and it goes on to say breaking bread together, and that can go along with fellowship. It also talks about the Lord's Supper, which we do together and we'll be coming together for next week. And then into prayer. Do we pray enough in this church? I think the answer to that should just be no. No, because it's never going to be, it never should be enough. But do we really, in the context of praying, as we're talking about the church as a whole, because I know you pray. We spend time in prayer at home. And one of the blessings in this church, and that I've shared before, is that I had never been in a church before. When I first came in, we were back in the old building. It's been about 12 years ago now. I walked in the front door. For those of you who know, been around for a while, Doug Search met me at the door, shook my hand, and introduced me to the people at the church. And I remember at that time, it's off subject a little bit, but my wife didn't really want to be here at first. God was moving us around and doing some difficult things with us. And she said, this is not our church. It's not our church. And she said, I just don't want anybody to come. I don't want anybody to come talk to me. I don't want anybody in this church to say hello to me. We're just going to go sit down and we're going to leave. And we sat down and like every one of the band members came down and said hello. And everybody that walked in the door walked over and said hello. She didn't have a chance. Friendly church is something that we always are. But one of the things I had never experienced before, and you tell me if it's the same here, is for me to be talking to someone and say, yeah, I'm going through this difficult time and this is going on and this, and they said, well, let's pray about it. And they grabbed somebody and we just like prayed. I have never experienced that anywhere else. That's honest. I have been in lots of churches, but you know what they usually say? I'll pray for you. See ya. But I have never been in a church where they just said, let's pray right now. And we're very good at that. We're even getting better at it. I'm seeing it more and more. You'll be out in the foyer when in between services and you'll see people gathered up in a circle and praying for one another and putting on hands. We meet up here when there's special needs or things that stand out that we just want to get together and just pray over. Our pastor was not feeling well this last week, so Wednesday night we gathered around him and just laid on hands and we prayed over them. And we've sent out men to the military by doing the same thing. But do we do that enough? Over the needs of the church, because it seems like that was a central focus. They knew that they could only do so much on their own, that God had equipped them, but they needed to be constantly in connection with the Father, seeking His direction and His guidance. We do this pretty good. We want to do this more. We even have a ministry, for those of you who don't know, that meets. This is like an advertising sermon. Everybody paid me $5 to say something about their ministry. No, on Friday nights, Ephraim Prayer Group meets right here at 5:30. Did you know that? Some of you didn't. Some of you go, what? Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. They meet right here to take the needs that have gone out on our email prayer chain, that have just been shared with them over time, that have been left in the little prayer box. Some of you didn't know that, but there is a little box right by the front door where the greeters hang out that has the place where you can just drop a prayer request in the box and let us know what's going on. And they meet right here, and they kneel before the Lord, and they bring the needs of the body to the foot of the throne, to the cross. They're dedicated to that, and they are here every week unless something catastrophic goes on and they cannot be here. They are here and dedicated to that. But you know what? There's a whole lot of space still left on Friday nights for people to come and to kneel and pray and to lift the needs of the body. If we are going to be what God wants us to be, we need to be in prayer more. We need to be on our knees even more. A real man fights on his knees before the things of this world, and we need to be on our knees before the Lord asking for guidance and direction, and that our pastor would be lifted up and would be put in a place where he would be filled with the Holy Spirit as he comes before us, that God would open doors for us to be able to minister to this community. I don't want people to say what I hear too often is, you say, Oh, we're at Calvary Chapel Eastside. Where's that? This is better now, but it used to be when we were right down where now where our old building was at, right on the main drag, right there by the Walmart entrance with a big sign, and people would say, you'd say, Calvary Chapel Eastside, where's that? And we're down there by the Walmart entrance. They would remember the welding shop that was next door that had like a sign that was really small before they would see us. Why? It's not about status, and that's not what I'm going with. It's that we are having an effect on our community, and we've got to do that. The only way we can do that is if we get to prayer. So this is an area of growth. I could say, you know what? We maybe need to add some others. Maybe Friday nights doesn't work so well with some people. Let's add some other nights. If that's on your heart, come forward. Come on. Step up. Say, I want to do that. I'll head that up. I'll be here. I'll lead that. Use your talent. Use your gift. Then it goes on in verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe. Aw. That's what the teenagers do every time I say it. Many wonderings and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Miraculous signs and wonders were done. Should that be happening now? You talk to people and you talk about miracles and amazing things like that happen that we read in God's Word, and there's some people think, yeah, that was for then. It's not for now. Why don't we see it as much now? Huh? No faith? Lack of faith? What'd you say, Kyle? We're dependent upon the flesh. Huh? Fear. That's a good one. This is for right now. And can I ask you the question? It says that it was for the apostles we're doing it. Does that mean just those in leadership are going to be doing miraculous things? In fact, if you just hold your finger right there, but you flip back, well, in mine, you have to flip back a page. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in the last days, God says that I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. This is what God wants to do in an active church. This is what we really desire. We want to see that kind of a church. We want to step into a service. We want to be a part of a ministry where amazing things are happening. You've done it, right? You've seen some other church somewhere. We all done it. We've compared. You've seen some other church, you hear about something, you're like, wow, I wish our church could be like that. Look what's going on over there. Cool things are happening. People are being saved. Amazing things are happening. I don't know why it's happening there. Maybe it's happening here because we haven't stepped up to that place and said, you know what, I'll be involved. I will use my gift. I will use my talent. I will be involved. I'll spend more time in prayer. I will be a part of this process. Because see, what I see in those churches is that there are tons of people that are coming together and just dying to be a part of a working church. And it's not just for the leadership that that God wants to do amazing things through. But God wants to do amazing things through all of his children, but he can't do it through complacent children. He can't do amazing things through complacent children who say that I'm okay and everything's fine and I don't need to move any further past this. He can't do amazing things through that. You're satisfied with where things are at, and he will allow you to be. He can't do it through children who are not stepping out to use their gifts and talents. They're children who think life is just about going through the motions. And we say that, and most people will say, oh, no, absolutely not. But we like our comfort, don't we? We like that things are laid out. This is what I do here. This is what I do here. This is what I do here. Oh, and God forbid you ever step in on that. This is what we do. And we like order. I don't think there's anything wrong with a little bit of order. I think to be able to keep from being chaos in our homes, especially if you have teenagers, you can have chaos in your home if you don't have to lay out some order. I know my kids, I only have two, but it seems like I can be running every night of the week to somewhere clear across town to drop somebody off. And so sometimes I have to put down here's where we have to kind of draw the line here, this or that. But what I see is that my kids, you know, the thing we're talking about here, my kids very easily do, our kids do. They're excited about getting involved. They're excited about using their talents and their gifts. They're excited. They don't care if it changes something in their schedule. They're excited to be a part of God's kingdom. Our teenagers back there are excited about doing things for the Lord. Amazing things can happen in this church if all of us as the church will realize it's not about working about a job. Just like I said in the beginning, it's not about focusing on a career or anything of this world. It's about serving and focusing on the Lord and say, yes, we have to do those things. You got to pay bills. If you didn't work, if God didn't give you a job to be able to work and to be able to tithe, this building wouldn't even be here. It is because of your faithfulness that this building even stands. That right now the heat or the air conditioning is on. that you have a chair to sit in. That is you being faithful before the Lord and giving what he has asked you to give. And without that, that couldn't be in place. So it's not about anything of this world, because the things of this world are temporary and they are secondary. We need to be asking God, what should I do in this kingdom and what should I do in this church? And I think that some people want, when you sit in a sermon that talks about serving in the church, like, oh great, here it comes again. They just want us to fill in the children's ministry. You know, God, did God bring you here? Some of you are like, I don't want to say. Did God bring you here? Is this your church? If this is not your church, you need to go back to your church. I can say that. Pastor Jim said I could. If this is not your church, then you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be in another church. Go to that church, because that's where you're supposed to be. We don't steal sheep. That's not our intention around here. And it won't work very well if that's where you're supposed to be. But if this is the church that God brought you to, and he encourages us to be a part of a body in unified and working together, then yes, what does God want you to do in and through this church? What talent or gift does he want you to use so that we can reach out as a group to those who are lost? See, some people are afraid on their own, but there's great power when we come together as a team. So if God brought you here, and he's given you a gift, and he wants you to use it, and he tells us we're supposed to be together as a church, then it's time, church, for us to step up and say, I want to be a part of what's going on here at Calvary Chapel Eastside. This is where God brought me. I got talents and gifts. And some of you are saying, I don't even know what those are. And that's okay. I don't know what my gifts and talents are. But so start stepping out. To just sit there is to do nothing. That's complacency. To just say, well, I don't know. And Pastor Tracy hasn't come and asked me to do something, so I'll just wait here. You're missing out. But to step out and to start to do things. You see stuff in the bulletin all the time for our children's ministry. Okay, I'm going to make a plug because it's my wife back there. So my wife oversees the children's ministry, and there are always options to serve back there. It's not about, oh, we just got to fill that in and take. No, that's important back there. That's extremely important back there for those kids to know the Word of God. And we have needs back there on a regular. Do you know why we have so many needs back there? Because that's such a big part of what we do. It's such a big part of what goes on in this church, and there are needs right back there right now. They're starting to get filled up slowly, but there are needs back there. You say, well, you know, I don't know where God wants me to serve. Are you willing to just step out somewhere? Look in the bulletin, and then a regular step up to me and say, is there something I can do? Oh, gosh. I do have people that do that, and we give them things, and sometimes the statistics show that about 20% of the people in the church do about 80% of the work of the church. And so it's very easy for some people who step forward. You'll notice that recently, if in the last couple of years you've stepped up to do something, I work hard at not giving you too much at one time. And I know some of you are like, give me more, but I don't want you to become overwhelmed. And it's very easy for that to happen. So I'm protective of the flock to say, I don't want that to happen. And you know what? If there's a need here, then God will send someone to fill that need. And there are needs within this church, and God wants you to step up to them and say, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, God. And I don't know what that is, but I'm willing to try it out. You know, I don't know anything about the sound system, but Russell's back there. You always need sound guys. The projection, the children's department, greeters up front. If you want to greet, then the Hazan sitting right here. You go to them and you say, hey, I'd love to pass out things and shake people's hands. I can do that. I can be friendly. We have people that work in the coffee shop, and you say, well, it's just a coffee shop. You know what? We go back to the fellowship. We put that in there for that reason. It wasn't about just coffee. I love coffee. There better be coffee in heaven. There better be. With like really high caffeine content. But we didn't put that there for that. We didn't spend the money just so we could drink coffee. That's there for a place to fellowship, and that's what happens. People come, they sit, they talk, they get to know one another. That's why it's there. That's why we do times and events to come together. They're not just because we have to. There's no playbook on being in a church where we just do things for some purpose. We do them because they serve a purpose. And all of those things require efforts of people to give their talents and their gifts, or just to step up and say, you know, it's not really my gifting or my talent, but I'm willing to do it. We do fellowships. Randy Hudson oversees a lot of our fellowships back there, and she's always in need of people to help up and set up chairs. Tear down tables. Anybody can do that. There are things in the church, and there are ministries that don't even exist right now because you have not stepped up, because God has given you a gift and a talent that meets a specific need in this church, and it isn't even there yet. But if you would step up and say, God, I'm willing to serve, then it can be. And then he can use you to do miraculous signs and amazing things. I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit long here. Oh, I'm taking place at Jim. He goes long all the time. Cut that part off there and say that. So is this happening? Is God doing miraculous things at Calvary Chapel, you say? Yes, he is. He is doing amazing things. And if you're not hearing about those things, then you need to be more in fellowship with the body, because there are miraculous things that are going on. I've been hearing things coming from the prophetic group that meets here on every other Monday night. I've been hearing things about people been praying for things separately. They come here and God speaks through the people there to them to build them up and encourage them, things that those people never even knew. I consider that miraculous when God confirms things through other people. Amazing things are happening. Verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Well, that's easy. That comes from just spending time together and getting to know one another. We tend to rub off on each other. And you know, the church used to be much better at that. We've gotten busy, haven't we? We used to be much better than that. What would happen when the churches that I grew up when I was a kid, what would happen is you'd kind of hang out in the foyer and people would say, hey, we put more in the crock pot. Why don't you come over and join us for dinner? Why don't you come over here? And we used to be more involved with one another in our lives. And we've gotten busy enough that we say, well, we can't. Now, I think we need to start coming together more. Brother Dave Palacio shared that up here when we were praying the other day, that we need to start coming together more, not less, not doing what the world is saying and separate us, but to come together more. And then he can create the church that he wants in Calvary Chapel East Side. Verse 45, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone who had need. And they went a little bit further. If you flip just past that to chapter 4, verse 32. It goes even a step further than that when it's talking about the church. It says, all the believers were in one heart and mind, and no one claimed to have any of his possessions, or no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned lands and houses sold them and brought the money for the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, brought it into the church, and it was distributed among those who had need. And Joseph, the Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, we're good about meeting needs here at the church. You know, I tell you what, you guys are fast, and sometimes when you get things through our email or other things, we don't put financial needs out there. And I'll explain why. But when it comes to things that are needed, you guys are fast. Just the other day, somebody needed, if you got or on our email list or on Facebook, you got a need that just a sister had for her mother that had taken a fall. And within like 20 minutes, was taken care of. One time I put out an email about needing some, I think it was crutches or a walker, or not walker or a cane for somebody that was outside of our church that just needed. And like all these canes started showing up at the church. And everybody was on top of it. And they said, hey, we're a part of this. We want to be involved. Let us know. We don't put financial needs out there. And that's upon our pastor's heart that we don't just post that. Because what he desires is that you're just faithful to the Lord, what God leads you to do. And in that, God will take care of that financial need. And it would be too easy to do that, and then what the picture that we can start painting is that that's all we're about, is getting. And so that's one of the reasons that's not out there like it is. And so you say, well, we want to help out. I just encourage those people. And I've had two people just recently come to me and say, you know, I just feel like God, and I'm not using this as any kind of to try and tell you to do the same thing, because you need to let the Lord do it. But two people, one person on email, another one called and said, we just feel like the Lord, we're supposed to be meeting some financial needs above and beyond what we already give. And because we have some extra resources, we want to do that. And so we're just going to start giving that and just say, that, you know, help that takes care of something. That's how God meets the need. It's awesome. But we don't put those things out there. But you guys are good at that, and you are faithful givers. But I can tell you that right now in the church as a whole, that's being affected in a big way right now. Maybe you don't know that as a layman in the church. But churches across America, I mean, we just saw one, I won't say the name, but one of them just went bankrupt. And we know which one I'm talking about, right? I mean, Crystal Cathedral just went bankrupt. $50 million. Tithes and offerings are down 10 to 20% across the board in churches, and I don't know why. And I'm not here to preach about tithes and offerings. That's not. I'm here to talk about what God says in the church, that we are obedient before him. But 10 to 20% changes who we can help, the church can help, how we can do benevolence, things that we can do to reach out. And I don't know why that is. People lost enough jobs that that's just the way things are. But there are churches across America that are closing the doors forever because people have stopped giving and they no longer can pay the bills. You know, if the tithes and offerings drop, we just can't call up the bank and say, hey, I know our building payments do, but could you just kind of reduce it a little bit? You know, the utilities company will only let you go so far before they shut the lights off. Those are things that in churches across America, that's not changeable. 10 to 20%, most churches. We're part of a group of pastors here in town, and they've shared that that's been pretty much the standard across the board. And I'm not doing that this is not a guilt session. That is just saying, you know, what I want to encourage you to do is to walk according to the word. I'm not talking about any of the aspects. Walk according to what God's word says. That's what these people were doing. They were invested in knowing God's word and walking according to the way it's written, being active, being alive, being a part of it, and doing everything. And that included their tithes and their offerings and what came out of their pocketbooks. And again, we can fall into the same thing. Well, you know, I would tithe, but somebody else will do it. Yeah, that's not what God's word says. So it is happening. We are a giving church. But that's something that we need to continue to be more and more open to do. When I give, I'm blessed by that. I am so blessed when God gives me the ability to give to someone else. I receive far more than they ever do, honestly. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And again, we just talked about this. It's spending more time together, getting involved in one another's lives. They're spending time in each other's homes, investing in each other, encouraging one another. This is a great picture of what unity within the church looks like. This was all about what their entire life was about working together, ministering together. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ. There is great power and encouragement in pulling together as one. And then verse 47 finishes off by saying, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is really what it's all about, is bringing people into the kingdom. Amen? Wouldn't you just love to come to service on a Sunday morning and see this section just full of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, giving their hearts to the Lord? Wouldn't you love to come on Sunday morning and walk around the foyer and all you're hearing as you walk through is, oh, I got to tell you, I just led someone to the Lord. Oh, you got to hear about somebody was at our home fellowship and they came to know Christ. Oh, I was talking to my neighbor and I was able to lead them to... That is what this is about, is reaching out to a lost and dying world. And the only way that we can do that is if we step out and begin to use the gifts and the talents that God has given us. And if we sit on them, then we just do church and God can't move through that. He can't move through complacency and we become the church of Laodicea. And we are not that, and we won't become that. Amen? So what God is saying is come alive, church. He wants to do something amazing. Like I said from the beginning, there has been some word that has been shared about this church, specifics of what God wants to do through this church. And it could be down the road, but I'd sure like to speed that along, wouldn't you? I would sure like to see that every time I drove past Calvary Chapel Eastside on my way to somewhere, that there were cars out front, that something was going on. Somebody was being reached with the gospel. Pastor Jim's heart has always been that God's given us such a beautiful building, and he has, amen, that it would be used 24 hours a day if possible. There'd be things going on here all the time. And there can be. And maybe God has put it upon your heart to do something during one of those open times. And I'll tell you what, slots are starting to fill up already. Things are filling in over our week, and times are getting filled in where people are bringing ministries into this church, and God is building that. Don't be left out. Because we are the church, and what God has asked us to do is to step up and use our gifts and talents. And there are some things out there. As I read this book, the more that I read this book, this is not really about me. It's about me serving you, and you serving me. And that's where I find my joy, and that's where I find my happiness, is when I serve you, you serve me. So come alive, church. Serve me this day. Use the gifts that you've been given. We are ambassadors for Christ to a lost and dying world, and the only way that we can share that love is when we step up and serve him. So just ask yourself today those three questions that I asked in the beginning, which was, what does God want from you in this world or in this community? If you say, well, I have just no gifts. I don't know what, I don't do anything good. I'm not good with kids and I don't do this. That's not what he's saying. He's not trying to say you figure it out. He's saying, just make yourself available. God, what do you want me to use me for? I'm available. Tell me, direct me, guide me. How does God want to use you? What does he want to fill you with? What does he want to use you? What talent or what way does he want to minister to this world? And where does he want you to use your energies and your resources? And if you're using them on the wrong thing, then just ask him, Lord, is where I'm spending my time right now, is this pleasing to you, or is there something else I'm supposed to be doing? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Father, we don't ever want to go in Revelations to this any direction anywhere close to what this Laodicean church was like. I don't know where it started with them. I don't know what started the process of moving them in this direction where they just kind of became complacent and just sat and didn't do anything and they were doing nothing for the kingdom.